Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen with me today for God's word. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the tribes of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Take out your bulletin. And let's spend a minute with the picture on the front. Allow your mind to travel into that lush, green, rugged space. Let your eyes move around the place this image brings to us. What do you see? What do you notice? If your eyes are not the keenest sense that you have, then close them. This journey is about imagination, stretching, playing, dancing, dreaming. It's not about an image on a page. Green earth, rounded mountains, a verdant valley, a scrappy tree about 7 feet tall distinguishes itself in the landscape. There are a few similarly shaped trees beyond it, smaller from distance or maybe age. Dirt roads are on either side of the tree, about 100 yards each way. The terrain is rugged, ancient, discovered, not developed, but capitalized. I wonder where you are in this picture. A traveler, a gazing tourist, a creature burrowing into the ground, a bird nesting or foraging among a pile of branches. Today, I am the tree. I am the frankincense tree. And this is just part of my story. You can never know it all. Words, after all, are not my first language. There are many ways to know me. My ethereal fragrance, my healing oils, the gritty touch of my sap hardening so that it can be taken. I revel in the power that exists within me to heal, to elicit silence and awe, to mark a holy moment, to pay homage, to adore. Now, whether you know it or not, the power within me is also within you. And it's something the Creator imagined for moments just like this one. Holy moments, moments of truth. How often do you savor that? How often do you celebrate that about yourself? Always start with the beautiful part of how you were made. That's what I've learned. Always start with the beautiful part of how you were made to understand your purpose and your power. If that's hard for you to believe about yourself, you need to come with me to a radiance that I cherish, that I pour out to you. While I revel in the sunlight as a tree, night is when I dream. My dreams are the poetry of stars, ancient, infinite, beyond, and beautiful. The stars are my family, my kin, brilliant sisters, mysterious mothers, luminous brothers, and grandfather shepherds. My dreams are the stars' stories of the world. They sing and dance our stories right above us. I don't dream alone, and neither do you. We all dream and grow together at night. That's when your imagination feels free to bring you gifts, to bring you truth that we share, challenging, vexing, nurturing truth. When they come to harvest me, my life force, my power, some are more gentle than others. Access to me is passed down from father to son, generation after generation. Right relationship is possible, though more rare now with my human cousins. A few times a year they come and cut a hole and ask me to weep for you, for a world that treasures and exploits me all at once. They give me 2 weeks to make peace with this gift that I'm asked to give you. And I use it to make sure the water within me will not be lost. The first tear that emerges like a mother's milk is one that they dare not confiscate. Then they come back after those 2 weeks, and they make a much bigger, deeper hole, and my dried sap is what they take. As long as they only come 2 or 3 times a year, I can recover. I can regenerate, and I can be fully alive in this relationship. As long as they only cut me in 9 places, I can survive. I can even thrive. But there are times when as many as 27 cuts leave me depleted. They want more of me than I can give. They've started to cut me year-round. That's not just my story. It's ours, the world's. The power we have within us, the beautiful beginning, it longs for right relationship. It thrives in right relationship. But the world often wants more, and mutuality becomes mutilation. And the length of our days is shortened, and we languish. We don't get to rest. We don't get to recover. Our Creator made us to require rest and to honor each other. In half of any one of your lifetimes, trees like me could almost totally disappear. a warming earth, overgrazing for high demand for red meat, and an increasing demand for frankincense could just leave a trace of us. And you can't tell us where to grow. Many have tried, but we cannot be farmed. We cannot be domesticated. We can grow in rocks. We can grow in desert. We know how to retain water. We know how to survive. But a living thing can only take so much exploitation. Somalia, my homeland, suffers too. The world demands more and more, and it seems that the people that have been tending this land for generations have less and less to show for it. The power within me is not just within me. It's a life force that I share. I have written pages of human history. I have changed the course of kings and sultans. I am a divinity-bearing creation. And I am an economic change maker. I have made cities wealthy. I have controlled trade routes. It's because of me that humans domesticated camels and built ships to sail to new markets. Armies have formed to try to come and control me. 10,000 Romans came for me some 2,000 years ago, but the desert protected me and they turned back. You need to know this about me, about what it means to be a frankincense tree in this world that we share. I can help you know yourself better. I can help you see the truth that brought you here to this sacred place today. You are here to remember a holy moment. Epiphany is the name given this day. When a baby's birth was a sacred interruption in the lives of powerful men. I carry that story to you. I was there. My blood, my tears, my life force was there. Kings became fearful and panicked. Wise ones became restless and lured to strange lands. People were on the move. Something troubling, shifting, disturbing, promising. It was magnetic, that pull to come and see. That pull to drop everything and go. It's not unusual for my oils to anoint a newborn, or to bless a marriage, or to cherish the dead. I'm accustomed to being present in moments brimming with meaning. But the day you remember today was a different magnitude of holy. Many have appropriated the stories of that day to make the meaning that they desire. But there's some things that you should know. The ones who carried my oils to Bethlehem were not kings. They were mysterious. They were magical ones, unfamiliar with the prophecies of a coming Messiah. They interpreted dreams. They were wise to hidden things and ancient secrets. Somehow the story has come to claim that there were only three of them, but the movement was so much more widespread. I cannot number the people who were moved or how the world was changed that day. The stars, my family, called them to move, to follow the strange movements in the sky. Now, as the earth moves, stars seem to dance across the sky from east to west. But that night, a group of stars came together for this resplendent glow, and that glow moved west and then suddenly south. Something was changing, and the stars were dancing to invite our wonder. These wise ones went to King Herod to see what he knew. He was not a popular king. He didn't fit the profile for a king. At least some people thought he didn't, for some believed his Jewish heritage was questionable. So when he heard about a king of the Jews being born, he panicked, and it was violent. His hostility was repulsive. Jerusalem was troubled, not along with Herod, but because of him. The wise ones knew not to assist him. That glow was their map. Their expectations were fed by their openness, by the ways they had learned to anticipate mysterious and mystical things. Imagine moving your body across unfamiliar terrain, pulled by this magnetism of some ethereal sensation. When they arrived where that glow took them, there was no ceremony, only awe. Words were not spoken. The world stilled its feverish ways. And in that moment, our divine nature was something that brought us deep peace, an animating promise. That beautiful beginning of each one of us was confirmed. The mystery of God's hopes and dreams, wakeful and vivid and present. That night, I was the most valuable offering made to this mysterious child in human terms. Back then, I was worth a lot more than the gold. I was the offering that acknowledged more than the rest of the offerings. I am the one that spoke volumes about the power of this moment, that this was God incarnate. That God comes humble, vulnerable, trusting, inviting us to see this miracle of love made flesh. And just like the exploitation of my bark, because of too much demand, because of greed, because of desperation, the holiness of that day in Bethlehem languishes. You have forgotten how to dream. You have forgotten that you can journey to a place where the truth will change you forever. The truth of God born in you, the truth of God born in resistance to enthroned power, the truth of God born into a world come home to ourselves. So why has this child been used to divide people, to shame people, to annihilate people, to destroy community, to concentrate wealth? What exploitation has gotten us to our current profanity of purpose as God's creatures? You and I are not here to exploit or to be exploited. We are here because God made us for right relationship. Our luminosity shimmers in our capacity for mutual regard, for shared power, for witnessing to each other's sacred purpose. Grandmother and grandfather stars keep calling us to look up, to see this expansive freedom that we were made to enjoy. I can mend cracked pots and make them watertight again. I can sweeten your breath. Egyptian maids used my soot to paint the eyes of the queens that they tended. I can bring swelling down. I can calm inflammation. I can cross the blood-brain barrier and open your mind to long-forgotten things and to divine mystery. I was used a long time ago to cover the smell of crowds gathered for Mass. I repel mosquitoes. I can reset dividing cells. I can stop some tumors from growing. I can break a fever. I can calm nausea. I can honor kings and embalm bodies that have transitioned to death. I, the frankincense tree, am a sign and a carrier of God's abundant love. And your prophets have been singing to you for ages now about signs of abundance and God's love for the world and for you and within you. The music of your true identity in God is my song and my fragrance, and may it be yours on this day of holy remembering. Thanks be to God.